It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Now we segue not just from one story to the next, but to the future. To make the journey, we hop aboard a Segway.
You can now step up, and the key is to just sort of relax and let the machine balance for you. Just think forward. That's the easiest way to describe it.
The Segway looks like a pogo stick on two wheels. You stand on a platform in the middle. Its space-age innards contain state-of-the-art gyroscopes and sensors, drive-by-wire controls, and a whisper-quiet, pollution-free electric motor. When the Segway was first introduced in 2001, it was hailed and hyped as a device that would revolutionize human transportation. Certainly, the technology is cutting edge, but when I met Doug Field, Segway's chief engineer at the company's headquarters in Bedford, New Hampshire, he acknowledged that factoring in the human part of the revolution has taken a bit longer than expected.
A market revolution takes time, and when you introduce a new technology, you need to wait and adapt and see how people use the product and who sort of takes off with it, because it's not only based on how useful the product is in a particular market, but it's about the psychology of people and how different groups behave. So I think I wouldn't say it hasn't gone as we had hoped or expected, but we've had to be very adaptable.
These market niches, it's very interesting to see the way that the product actually, the applications have evolved. Of course, I was reading the New York Times and they have you have Polo now, mm-hmm. and you've got the new device for golf.
Right.
Where are the other horizons that you see for this? Because I could come up with 30 of them.
Exactly, and we all do that. And one of the biggest challenges in marketing and developing this business is deciding where to go. But police and security type of markets are one of the most compelling ones that we're really pushing forward on right now. A security officer or a policeman is someone who needs to be present in a lot of places, be able to move quickly, but still interact with their environment, whether they're inside an airport or on a street. Consumers are the other side of the business, and some of them are using it for actual transportation. Some are using it for pure fun, like the people who are doing Polo, and some are using it for both. They ride it to work during the week and then play Polo on it during the weekend.
I know it's surprised a little bit, perhaps maybe not. France, big market for you. How's that?
Well, I think Europe in general is a very interesting market because, well, for several reasons. First of all, the alternative, the automobile, is dramatically more expensive than it is in the U.S. In addition, a lot of the cities, because they're so much older, were not designed and built around the automobile. So the Europeans, I think, are used to adopting transportation technologies a little more quickly. You see a lot more public transportation there. We have a great partner in France also, Keolis, who is working with us setting up kiosks where people can combine the product with the use of mass transportation to use it to get to their final destination.
How does that work? Because this is that last mile that you're trying to link, it seems to me, from the home to the mass transit.
Right, right. Because mass transit has to choose to stop in one location. You can't get everyone's destination. And everyone wants to make an individual decision from that point forward. So an individual can use the machine to get to their last mile by actually carrying it with them onto transportation.
So, but the idea, I could think of places, you know, where the Kiss and Ride is, you just park your human transport machine and hop on the train and you're off to work.
Exactly, exactly. That is one potential vision.
Okay. Good. I've got about 1,000 more questions. Can we take it out for a swim?
Sure.
Boy, you just hopped right on top of that.
Yeah, I've spent a little time on them.
Okay, so how do you turn it on?
So we're going to turn it on using, this is an intelligent key that has a code in it that has to match the machine in order to start up. So it reads that key. So to actually get it ready to stand on, what you want to do is level it out. Yeah. Okay, and then press and release that blue button. Let go. Okay, now you'll sort of feel the machine come alive.
Oh my, it does. So now it feels like it's really coming alive.
Right, so just pull it forward and backward a couple times and you'll see, gently. There you go. And you see how the wheels respond to that?
Yeah, so it kind of rolls back and forth as I push, huh?
Right. So you can now step up, and the key is to just sort of relax and let the machine balance for you. Just think forward. That's the easiest way to describe it.
Think forward. It's almost as if I don't have to move it. It's as if I do just think.
Exactly. And the reason is it's really making use of the same gesture that you would use as you, even before you actually take a step, if you think about walking, the first thing you do is you actually put your weight forward and you start to sort of tip and fall, and then you take a step. Well, the machine is taking the step for you, so that almost subconscious motion that you make by tilting forward, the machine is responding to. and you forget about it very, very quickly. There's no gas pedal. There's no brake. It's just under you responding.
I'm going to go right.
So right now, how fast am I going? Which is just
1.5, 2 miles per hour.
Oh, really? That's it? Oh, I feel like I'm zooming.
The top speed of the machine is 12.5 miles per hour, which is 20 kilometers per hour, which is about the speed a fit person can run.
So, you know, but the one thing, there is a nerd factor. You know, you kind of look weird on it.
Well, any radical technology tends to have that effect, and it's one of the reasons that technologies do take time to be adopted. It is not something that any of us who were growing up would expect to see a wheeled machine do, ride along on two wheels balancing and standing upright. The funny thing is, if you start talking to kids who have seen this over the last couple of years, they completely take it for granted. There's nothing special about it, and that's probably something that's associated with how technologies get adopted is... The kids that were around when it got invented gradually grow up and become consumers and just start using it.
All right, I'm off.
As I'm doing my George Jetson imitation and zooming around the company parking lot, I hover next to a man standing beside a brand new $5,000 Segway.
Hi. Are you the owner of this Segway?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
We're working on it.
Really? May I ask your name and where you're from?
Sure, Bob Snyder. Randolph, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh. And you came up here to look at one, buy one, about one?
I'm on the borderline here, purchasing one.
Yeah?
Yeah, contemplating.
What would you use it for?
That's the big question. Whether it's recreation or whatnot. I don't really have an exact use for it as of yet, but...
So this is the model you would get? This is a different model than I think I'm
running. Well, it's what I can afford, basically. That's really amounts to.
How long did it take you to learn to use it?
Probably about a total of 3 minutes.
Well, if you ever want to drag race, I'm ready for it.
You're ready? Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I feel absolutely comfortable on it. It's really remarkable.
Idea. There's a quote, I believe it's Arthur C. Clarke, that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And that's a great way to describe the machine, I think.
Well, Douglas Field, Chief Engineer of Segway, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Check out me on my Segway at loe.org.